Okay, I'm going to bring the Town of Discovery Bay Water Wastewater Committee meeting to order. Can I have roll call, please?
Let the record reflect that all members are present.
Okay, at this point of the meeting, it's open for public comments. Do we have anyone on the teleconference line that would like to speak to us? And just as a general information so that we will know, is there anyone on the line at this time? I know Mike is there. Mike, can you hear us?
Hello. Yeah, hello.
Okay. Okay, well, I'm going to close public comments and move on to the draft minutes of the meeting of May 6th. Do I hear a motion?
I'll make a motion that we accept them as noted.
Second, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. With that, we'll move on to presentations, water, wastewater update.
Okay. Yesterday afternoon, I had a conversation with Gregory, a wastewater engineer, where we learned at that time that there had been some, I'll let him give you the details on this, but the bottom line is that there's some aeration and oxidation issues. I guess you're being handed a document now that we will have to add as additional materials on the website. You're going to get additional information on this, but for purposes, we're looking at a $600,000 to $1.2 million additional cost to the denitrification project that had not been included in the CIP project, therefore not included in the project budget, therefore not included in the rate study, which we are voting on tonight at the board meeting. So he'll go into the details of that, but for purposes of the rate study and how this it now affects that, is we immediately went back to the office and decided, how are we going to deal with this issue? Is this something that we're going to have to recommend that we pull the rate study, add this, you know, $1.2 million, $1.5 million into this thing to, and then bring it back so our ratepayers would be have increased cost on a future rate study to encompass this? Well, we were able to determine that, and we feel confident about this, that we can manage our projects, we can shuffle things around timing-wise, reprioritize some things, plus utilize reserves and maybe debt service in a way, a combination thereof. And we feel confident that we can absorb that $1.2 million on the high side without having to readjust the rate study. But I felt it important to bring that to the board, to your attention, so that you're aware of this and can still factor it into decisions made tonight. So with that said, I'm going to bring Gregory up to talk about, you know, what this is really all about.
Good day, guys. So you may recall that as part of the master plan, there was a recommendation to do some oxygen testing in Plant 1 because we had some concerns based on data that we were gathering that there was something not right with the rotors of Plant 1 and we weren't getting enough oxygen in the ditch. So an oxygen study was included as part of the master plan recommendations. The board authorized a contract in February for an oxygen test to take place. We completed the oxygen test, and the oxygen test showed that the rotors were producing 30% less oxygen than the manufacturer said they would, and 50% less oxygen than the master plan says we need for the oxidation process. And so as a result of that, we have been evaluating what technologies can take place to supplement oxygen into the ditch along with or replace the existing rotors. So we looked into four or five different alternatives, every alternative we thought we could come up with, we looked into. Since I've briefed staff on this, Mike Iraka has mentioned we might try and look into liquid oxygen. So I will through and found every alternative that we thought would work, physically work in the ditch. Several manufacturers indicated that they wouldn't work, and then some of the costs came in really high. So we've got to narrow down to two options that were the two least cost options, and they have differences. And what we've done is we prepared an alternative analysis, a short sort of bullet point analysis of the two options. So in option number one, and actually there's two pieces of paper, so we're talking about the top two. Right? So in option one, we keep the existing rotors, and we add aeration diffusers, and we add blowers to blow air into the ditch. So we just add more air. So there's technology that allows us to do that. You got to buy diffusers, you got to buy blowers. And it's pretty straightforward, other than there's operational differences. The other is we replace the existing rotors with the Evoqua rotors, which are bigger and more efficient, and we can put more horsepower into the rotors that way. The first capital cost comparison here is the first box of yellow. The long and short of it is, it's about $1.2 million for the diffuser option for all three ditches, and about $2 million for the Evoqua option, the new rotor option for all three ditches. So plant one and plant two. That's the capital cost difference. In terms of oxygen, the next box down, the existing rotors highlighted yellow are giving around 2,300 pounds per day of oxygen. The master plan needs 6,400. And so we're making up in column one, 4,100 supplemental aeration with the aeration diffusers and the blowers. And in column two, we're just replacing the rotors, but the rotors will give us 6,400 pounds. So the design is 6,400 pounds of oxygen per day in the ditch, and we're only getting 2,300 reliable capacity out of the existing rotors. Following on that, there's some efficiency numbers, but then we went into power costs. It turns out that aeration diffusers are more energy efficient than the aeration and the rotor option. And when you add a life cycle present worth on that, the present worth of electricity for the average condition at the plant is about $1.7 million over 20 years for option one, and about $1.97 million for option two. So the aeration option is a little bit more efficient than this, than the Evoqua rotor option. However, there is some additional maintenance required. We have more blowers, we have more equipment, we have things to maintain now that we didn't have to maintain. And there's some additional maintenance costs for alternative one. When you add in the maintenance costs, the energy costs, and the capital costs, you get a present worth cost, a total present worth cost for alternative one of $3.349 million, and alternative two of $4 million. So there's a present worth cost difference of around $650,000, and there is a capital cost difference of approximately $800,000 between the two alternatives. Alternative one, on an engineering perspective, looks pretty good, but let's turn the page and let's discuss some of the differences about those. So the biggest thing here is our current plant operates with four rotors in each ditch. Four rotors in each ditch. It's a very simple process, and oxidation ditches, like what you have, are designed for simplicity of operation. They are not designed to be the most efficient process out there. They're designed to be the easiest to run. And you know, when the plant was built and it was partially manned, and even when Sand District 800 ran the original oxidation ditch, you know, it's designed to be able to turn on and walk away north for long periods of time. So there's a sort of reliability around simply and simplicity around just having rotors. They're not the most efficient, but they work. They just turn on. In terms of, we did some pros and cons just to kind of get a sense of what's happening here. The pros, the diffusers for alternative one, they're lowest cost by a lot. They're a pro on that. And the con for alternative two is it's the highest capital cost. Back on the rotors, alternative one, we're dealing with two different technologies now operating at the same time. We're adding rotors, we're running, and we're adding oxygen. So it's a more complex operation to run. The rotor output is still dependent on dish level, so we have to keep the dish the same level. There's maintenance on diffusers. Diffusers, you have to replace them periodically, and you have to maintain them. And this becomes exceptionally difficult when we discuss plant one. Existing low energy rotors remain in service, so you know that's kind of a con. And then we had to put the blower somewhere, so it's sort of a more congested site. And, you know, it was never planned to have blowers. We had to just kind of sneak them in. And right now, the only place we really think we can put them is right down the center of the ditch. So it's sort of an access, maintenance access. It's doable, but it's sort of a maintenance access problem. Any rags or stringy materials getting into the ditch are going to hang up on the diffusers and require manual removal over time. It's also more difficult to drain and clean the ditch. We don't do it very often, but it is more difficult to do when you do have to do it. And then the real trick here for plant one is you have to protect the diffusers when the ditch is out of service. You can't let them sit in the sun for months. It'll destroy the diffusers. And then depending on your piping, it's the same as true for the piping. There's also blowers required, so it isn't just diffusers. And when we say diffusers, just so you know, it's a thin membrane, you push air through it, makes little tiny bubbles. So it's just little tiny bubbles in the water. And that's how we treat it. That's what diffuser is. And it's usually some kind of membrane of different sizes. But then you have to have something that forces the air through, and that's called a blower. And just so you have to know what a blower is, I have a picture of a blower that we are considering for this project. It comes in a package. It's the second handout. You see it, there's an enclosure around it. You go on page two, you kind of see that it's sort of a fancy package system, but there's a positive displacement blower inside that package. So just so you can get a sense of what the thing looked like. And then blower filters have to be replaced quite often. So the real point of it is you have one kind of a plant now. We're changing it already to add denitrification. But if we add diffusers, it will work, and there are plants that do this in oxidation ditches. If it's not an oxidation ditch, it's the standard. Like if it's a standard treatment plant, a little bit larger plant, it's diffusers. That's all it is. You know, they don't have the rotors. But not a lot of plants that mix rotors and diffusers, because it's kind of like you went in one direction when you picked rotors, and you don't really kind of mix the two. But it has been done, and there are plants that didn't have the exact problem. We needed more air, and they put in diffusers. The pros and cons of alternative two, the new rotors, obviously if we put new rotors, they're higher efficiency and substantially larger than the existing rotors, so they give us what we need. But the operation is exactly what we have now. It's simple. You just turn a rotor on, turn a rotor off, and that's it. Nothing changes, you know, from how it runs now. And then the new rotors, the only maintenance is going to be the same maintenance you have now. It's just the same belts. All they do is replace belts on the rotors now. It'll actually be less maintenance because we have to replace blades on our existing rotors. The new rotors won't have blades, they'll have discs, and the discs never need replacement. They don't slap the water, they kind of glide through the water, and so they don't have that energy impact, and they're not structurally damaged by the water action. And then it gets rid of the less efficient rotors. So the real thing that is on paper, okay, it's cheaper, it saves energy, let's just put diffusers in, but there's operational trade-offs. So we brought this up in our meeting, our update meeting for the denitrification project to staff earlier this week. And the sort of big coming along is what we found with the oxygen testing is different than what we could have predicted in the master plan. It was substantially worse. And we have to make a bigger ground. We need more air than we thought we were going to need in the master plan. That's going to be a cost hit no matter what we do, you know, no matter what technology we take. And so that's where there's a range of costs. The cheapest option is $1.2 million. In the master plan, we had budgeted $600,000. So when Mike says it's an increase of $600,000, our original budget, and in the CIP and in the master plan in the project right now, $600,000. We're looking at $1.2 million if we go with diffusers, and we're looking at $2 million if we go with the new rotors. There are differences in process, and I don't want to go through all these today. We're trying to alert you that these are the conversations that we're having with staff behind the scenes. Do not have a solid recommendation yet because as a minimum, Mike wants us to take a look at Proxair and we'll look at lipid oxygen and see if that maybe changes it. I don't have a lot of hope for that, but I'm perfectly willing to go look at it and see if we can put some numbers to it and see if it makes a difference. So the purpose of this update is simply to say that this is an issue we're struggling with on the project. We wanted to bring it forward so you understood from our perspective, no matter what, we're paying more. You know, that's sort of the hit to the district. There's going to be more money spent, and then we need to make a decision about how much we trade off the amount of money we can afford. support versus the operational challenges we might face with picking one technology over the other technology. You know, if you did it from scratch and the blinders were all off, we just put the bigger rotors on and it'd be an oxygen plant because that's what it was, you know, kind of thing. But we recognize that we want to be cost effective with the money spent for the district, but there are trade-offs, and those trade-offs are going to be run by Veolia. Veolia's going to be the one dealing with those trade-offs, dealing with the operations, dealing with the maintenance, things like that. So those are the things we have to consider. So that's the update.
How long have we been discussing denitrification?
Since we got our last permit, so 6 years.
Why is it that we were unaware that we're going to have to add more oxygen?
So we weren't unaware when we did the master plan. When we put in oxidation dish number 3, I discovered that there was something wrong with the way the rotors operated when they were installed. Not because of the manufacturer's equipment, but on all the ditches. In all the ditches, the rotors were behaving differently on the inside rotor versus the outside rotor. And the outside rotors were drawing less electricity than the inside rotors. That sounds like a good thing on one hand, because you're drawing less power, but we needed to understand why the power wasn't going to the ditch. So when we did the master plan, Stantec did the master plan, we alerted them that, hey, there's something funny going on with these rotors, and we took data to them and gave them that data. And they realized that, you know, at a simple basis, less power input means there's less oxygen input. You know, they're directly proportional. So if you're putting less power in, you must be putting less oxygen in. So the master plan came up and said, these based on the numbers you gave us, you're putting in this much less oxygen. Let's assume that that's true, that you're going to have this much less oxygen. And they said, okay, then we're going to need supplemental aeration. And they put that as a line item in the master plan. But then they also said, well, we don't know exactly what's happening, and you sort of scared us enough that we want to do a test. And they included the cost of that test in the master plan to just make sure before we go design something that we're not going to miss something. Well, what came back is the test came back a lot worse than what we thought.
Well, when did we get those tests back?
We just got it back. So they did the testing in February 1st. We got our final report at the end of February. And we've been working on solutions since then.
What I'm frustrated about is here we are ready to do a rate increase, and this wasn't put in. We've had information since February, knowing they're going to have a rate study, and we never got there in time. Why?
Well, in February we just knew we needed oxygen, but we didn't know what it would cost to supply it. So we immediately went out to the manufacturers of different technologies and started investigating different technologies. Unfortunately, with a little bad luck, the response from manufacturers has been really slow because of the COVID-19 thing. So it took months for people to just give us cost data. So it wasn't that they couldn't say, oh, sure, our piece of equipment, XYZ, plug that in and that'll work. Put these infusions in. They were like, well, what's that going to cost? Well, those were all delayed.
But shouldn't we have at least said, okay, it's going to be more than what we've got in the CIP? We better be prepared.
Well, I didn't know that until 2 weeks ago. I started the process, so it's not on Dina or it's not on Bernie or these guys. It's not me. I didn't have the data to bring forward, but I didn't have it until like two and a half weeks ago, where we started getting these numbers in.
Okay, well, 2.5 weeks ago, we approved the preliminary rate study.
Yeah.
Why didn't staff know that we had new numbers
then? I would say I was a little slightly disconnected from the rate study process, so I didn't realize that went down 2 weeks ago. I could have brought it up.
So I share President Pease's comments. I think this is more than a shock, but I'll take that aside for right now, because I think all you can do is tell us why we didn't know this earlier, but we don't. So if I can ask a couple questions, please. Okay. Looking at the list of bad things, the cons,
uh-huh.
Alternative one. First off, does this apply to both plants?
One of the biggest difficulties is plant one. The cons apply to both plants, but they become most problematic when dealing with plant one.
I understand that, but your upgrade, let's call it an upgrade,
yes,
is uh-huh. going to take place in both plants.
It has to.
Okay. Uh-huh. Okay. So just a couple questions. So On the left side, existing load configurations of rotors main and servers, rotors at plant one are 40 years old. So you
yes.
have another unknown when you start to unpackage that.
Well, the plan for plant one was, unless we think it's in immediate zone of failure, and it's partially used plant, it's not used all the time, you know, we replace the rotors. That's more of just a comment. The rotors are 40 years old. We've replaced the bearings on them a couple of times.
But it's worthy of putting a comment here that you don't know what it's going to look like. And you have fears that 40 years old, you're going to open it up and we're going to have more costs.
I think it's going to work just fine for X period of time, but it's more of in trying to compare alternatives. We can't do exactly apples to apples, so we're just trying to alert people that some rotors are brand new, like a plant two. Some rotors are 40 years old, and the other option, everything's brand new. Like, all the rotors are brand new.
That's okay, I understand it. But then there's no value in me reading this if you're saying I'm not worried about it.
Well,
it's just going to give us
It's just information, yeah. I mean, like, some of these are a bigger deal than other ones, right? So it's just like, okay, this is a piece of information.
But information is what gets me excited or sad.
Okay, all right.
When I read that one, it's the first one I circled. It said, we got an unknown. Another unknown.
Yeah.
So what you're telling me right now is that you're not worried about opening it up.
In an interim operation like the plant, when plant one is planned around, I think it'll be fine.
Rags and stringy materials escaping. So we know that's in the process. So this is going to cause us a problem if we go with alternative.
Right. So right now there's a separate CIP item to replace the screen in plant two. And we're going to put in a good screen that'll make sure that we don't get those rags into the ditch. There's not a screen planted for plant one. There is a screen there. But what's happened is our existing screen in plant two has gotten overwhelmed at times, and rags are still being buried in the plant. The issue becomes you have a maintenance problem. It's not like it blows up or it doesn't work. It just means that periodically you got to drain out the ditch and just take the rags off the diffusers. But it is a cost of labor.
Okay. But you've got two comments. One is added maintenance, but also possible damage.
Right.
So the damage is the part.
You have to do it really bad. It's theoretically possible, but you have to do it really bad. We're just trying to point out.
So you put that comment in, but I don't need to worry about that.
I wouldn't worry about damage. I'd worry about the maintenance.
You got to be careful how you word it.
That's okay.
Okay.
You're talking engineers, so we always qualify.
I got it. Down on the next one with the building around it. What type of a building? Is this a brick building, a tough shed building, a Rubbermaid building?
It could be a wood building. You know, it's going to have to be something substantial. So the concern with plant one is if I put these blowers out there in the middle of the night, someone could hear it.
And that's going to be your last thing on the end.
And then the question is that even a problem that someone can hear them? So some people know, but some other people, yes. I suspect that if you ran the ditch at night, in the middle of summer, people open the windows up and try to, they could probably hear the ditch. People just right across the fence there, just to the north, you know, on Cherry Hills Drive, just to the north. They could probably hear the ditches running. We've never had a complaint before, but this is a different kind of noise. This is low frequency noise from a blower. This is a thump noise, thump noise.
Okay.
And so we're just concerned. And like I said, you could even like go forth and not do anything, and maybe people never even complain. But we just want to recognize that at the moment, when we save $1.2 million, that's the minimum to get you in and have everything work.
Sure.
But it doesn't mean we've mitigated every possible downside.
I got it.
You know?
Okay, so just sticking to that one, I'm concerned about the blower noise, definitely.
Yeah.
But the shed, it's not a tough shed, it's not a Rubbermaid, it's not a brick one, but it's probably 10,000, 20,000 in today's world when we try to get a government.
Yeah, realistically, it's probably 25 or 30 in today's
25,
world.
25, 30, okay. So that's okay, thank you. And then on the other side, you've got a high on the con for the alt tube.
Yeah.
High efficiency operator requires reversing the flow. How often?
Permanent. We're going to reverse the flow of the ditch.
Oh, this isn't something you do routinely?
We're going to do it. In fact,
okay.
To verify that, I've gone out and reversed the flow of one ditch already, by the way. I went out and did that on Monday.
Okay.
And I worked with Veolia on that, and we reversed the flow of the ditch to see if it improved operations,
okay.
And it did.
Okay, this is good. So I see really no cons in that. That That's not.
Well, it's expensive. The real con is it's expensive.
And this other one, they say a whole lot of unknowns.
They're cons, but they're not necessary deal breakers. They're just things that we want to bring up to see if there's concerns about it. We can develop more into them. Like, we're just, you know, we're bringing up the topics,
yeah.
And if you, like, say, hey, noises are a big concern, then we can delve into that and
yeah.
Say, okay, you know.
What I worry about, though, some of the choice of words gets me worried to ever consider this, and you're saying don't worry about it, tells me that maybe the words are there to cover yourself just in case it fails. I can say I told you. I don't want to get to the point where we're saying
that.
It won't fail.
It will work.
Right.
It's going to physically work, okay? But, like you said, there might be operational issues with it, so maintenance might be more. Maintenance will be more. It might be a little harder to run for the operators.
Okay.
You know, that is going to be true. You know, how significant are every single one of these? They're just the brainstorm list of what's
okay.
Different.
I got it. I got the value of it. Thank you. We have a 15% contingency on this overall project.
We have $800,000.
$800,000.
Yes.
Okay.
All right.
$800,000. We also have some areas. I know that we have some. Whenever you do a project like this, we have the contingency in case.
Yes.
Okay, but we also made sure that we covered everything we've got.
Right.
So all of the work that you've done to figure out what the alternatives are, can we now go back to the overall plan we have and pull out $800,000 worth of work that was there that we could probably change slightly?
There are ways to modify the scope and save some money. One of those modifications, for instance, we were going to put longer covers in plant one and plant two. We've already kind of decided with the staff level that we're not going to use plant one very often, so we really don't need space for longer covers there. And that saves about $80,000, okay? There's also other items of plant one. You know, there's like, we had some demolition and cleanup and things like that. If you really had to, you could jettison that. I mean, there are things that we could do to help. I would not want to burn the entire contingency budget on this one item.
Oh, I know, I'm not advocating
so,
that, yeah.
I don't mind stealing a little bit from it,
yeah.
But I don't want to burn the whole thing off.
So the suggestion is, can we now put our heads together because we got both parties involved and see if we, there's some
right.
Just like we would at home, if something comes in, you know, the car fails and I got to squeeze it, I got to cut something.
We got to squeeze
okay.
Something, yes. So
another question
the
on,
is,
on
we
this.
Hadn't had time to do that yet with
okay.
The, you know what I'm saying? So the plan was, originally, we were going to bring this up next month after we had a chance to go through and look for where we could cut and,
sure.
and what the real, true bottom line fiscal impact is going to be.
Let me stop right there. How come you're disconnected with the rate study program, where the money's at?
Well, we provided the data, and I've had my head down on design, so I just wasn't aware of the schedule and how the adoption date on the rate study. That's all.
It would be really bad if this was brought up next month, I'll tell you. I'm unhappy now. You don't want to tell me this a month from now.
Yeah.
I mean, in my opinion, the only one that is viable is alternative two, to spend an extra, we've got $600,000 and spend 1.4 to make it to two and be done with it and take all the hassle out of it. So my question is, between now and the next 4 years, is there enough CIP projects that we can manipulate around to be able to cover this extra $1.4 million until we can do our next rate study?
I'm going to bring Julie up to answer that. We've looked into that.
I don't care what the projects are. I just need to...
Yesterday when Mike came in, we did go through the numbers, and we can manage ahead of the 1.5 between the timing of projects. I can't tell you which ones, but we would. We've got some little extra reserves, and we could manage through it. If you ask for my recommendation, I'd say, you know, leave the rate study alone, and we'll manage through it because it's 1.5. It's over 5 years. So we have not. We just received these numbers, though. Dina and I have not been able to go through them. So I have a recommendation.
All right, thank you.
Gregory, on this piece of equipment, is this one in plant? I don't know about the quantity, but is it being placed in both plant one and
yes,
plant
so
two?
Yes,
all
three for each ditch.
How many do we
three
buy?
Three for each ditch, be nine total.
Nine total?
Yeah, three at each ditch, so six at plant two and three at plant
three at plant one, okay.
Yeah.
And that takes away the noise issue.
Well,
in
no.
Type one.
That one comes with both. So a blower, a PD blower is really loud, like 90 dBA loud. Like, I don't want to stand next to it loud. So they put an enclosure around it. But that only knocks it down to like 50 or 60 dBA. That's fine to have a conversation with next to it or whatever for normal, I'll say, true to plant activity, all right? But I'm cognizant of with PD blowers, when you have residents nearby your wastewater treatment plant, PD noise travels, low frequency noise travels far, pump travels a long ways, especially
yes.
around water. That's another thing we have here. So I'm cognizant of that, even though you can put a meter on it and say it doesn't violate noise pollution laws or whatever, it doesn't mean it's not annoying. And I'm just saying there's a risk that it is annoying to somebody because different people perceive noise differently. You have your windows open in the middle of the night, even though maybe you can barely hear it, it's still going thump, thump, thump in the background, and you didn't want to hear it, and you're mad that day, and then you can call the district that someone's pissed off and hear it thump, thump, thump the whole night. You don't run the plant very often, you know, but we do need it, you're going to run it 24/7 when you do use it, you know. And so there's a very low exposure profile in terms of how often it's going to happen, but it is there. I just want to bring it up, and then if you say, hey, I don't even want to go there, address it, then I'll address it. I want to say, you know, let's roll the dice and see how it goes, and we know that we have a plan in place that we have to do something. I mean, I can design it so I can add a building later, for instance, you know what I mean? So I have a plan in place. If it doesn't go, we don't have to spend the money up front if it doesn't work out.
If we do this, whichever alternative, when does it start?
Well, what we're going to do is sit down and go through with a little more time what we might cut, what we propose to cut, how we're supposed to get there, and then come back. And then even Veolia wanted to kind of think about it a little more. I'm not ready to optimally just jump and spend too many bucks. I'm not there yet. I'm saying this is the range of alternatives, and we really are trying to do the best job we can for you. And even though that's the easiest for me to do, it's like the no-brainer problem for me. You're like, okay, it solves all my problems, and if you put this in, it's bigger, it's better, you guys pay more money, you know, we all go home. I'm not ready to jump into that yet. I'm trying to get a little more data and then go through the projects in the CIP, you know, what we're building right now, what could be cut and see, and then we have a more clear direction of, okay, staff recommends we either do this alternative and cut these projects, pay for the rest this way, or we do this alternative, you know, and then we can get a more formal ranking. Because right now, Veolia hasn't even said, let's do this and do that. You know, we had time to present all this information 2 days ago. So we need one more month to put that together and bring it back to the next wastewater committee in terms of decision. But in terms of what happens is it's just a decision. I mean, we're still designing all this, right? So nothing, money doesn't change hands or anything like that. But we would basically say we need to plan for more budget and project, and we need to agree to cut these projects to pay for it. If you have no money, if you say, Greg, we cannot do it, there's no way we're going to add one more dollar to this project, we'll go figure out what we're going to trade off. We'll sit down and figure out what we're going to trade off and how we're going to get there, you know, kind of thing. I mean, there's always trade offs.
Right, we can't afford it.
And I need to sit down with staff and say, how are we going to pay for this?
I think that's a good plan.
All right. So we'll start with what can we live with cutting?
Yes.
The easy ones.
That's good.
Right. Come back with a proposal, and if you say, no, not good enough, then we'll do the hard cuts and move on.
All right.
Is that the end of your happy news?
I would like to say, though, maybe
okay.
I don't mean to kick a dead horse, but we've been partners for a long time. And when something comes in, and we've been talking rate study with you in the room numerous
yeah.
times.
Oh yeah.
Red flags got to go up a little quicker.
Yeah.
A partner would do that. And I know you're sitting back saying I haven't got enough to tell them, but you got to tell us there's something. There's a train coming, and I'm not sure we're not on
all
the
right.
wrong track. We need to get that.
So that's not. Yeah, that's not.
Okay.
Yeah. I knew it was in development. I didn't quite realize it was right there.
Yeah.
I thought it was better to come up with data first, but. I'll let you know. If I
yeah.
It's always better to come up with money first.
Yeah.
When we're sitting up
I
here,
need time for that,
when,
you
can do a swag.
Okay.
And fine tune it later.
All right.
But get the money to us because that's what we have to do.
Right.
And then you go back and date it out and do whatever you have to do and clean it up.
All right.
But
there's another bad news topic.
Okay.
Nothing to do with the United project, but we were alerted by Veolia that we have some pipes that have failed at the pump station at Plant 1. So we have holes poles and pipes. You know, we also have at pump station W, which is the backup to the infill pump station, there's a hole in the pipe there too. Something strange going on with the combination of water and grit at the plant is chewing through pipes. But I went and inspected twice. I went and inspected last week, and then I inspected again this morning. Viola was able to lower some pumps down in there. So the long and short of it, there's five pumps at the infill pump station right now. One pump is one pump base, so there's five individual drop legs to each pump. One pump base is broken, they can't use it because the pump won't mount properly. That's been known for a while, and we're like, okay, we'll fix that as part of your project. Then the pump immediately adjacent to it, it's got a hole in the pipe and water squirting everywhere, and it won't pump enough flow. So then they have one pump on the end, so they have one working pump out of three. And on the other side, they have two pumps, but then we were out there testing, the check valve's completely froze up, it won't work. So essentially, we're our five pump stations down to two pumps right now. If we try and do the repairs as part of the big project, which I could work them into, it realistically is at least 18 months because we still have to finish the design of everything else. We still have to then get a contract, get them out there, get them mobilized. Even if I say this is your number one priority, go fix this first, then they got to order parts and stuff. It's still at least 18 months away for me to do it under the big contract. I think we need to step forward and do it as a separate project.
18 months sounds like it's going to start to bleed into the D9 deadline.
Well. We could combine the repair as part of the D9 project, but it'll take at least 18 months before the repair is made if we do that. It'll be incorporated in that project.
And for 18 months then?
For 18 months, to me, it seems like the risk is too high, given that we're already down two pumps. They're going to try and fix the check valve real quick, but you're down to two pumps right now. We need two pumps. So really, right now, you don't have a redundant pump. You know, and so, we think it's best to just kick out a little tiny plan set and get some bids and have a contractor fix it. And we'll probably end up shutting the pump station down for a couple weeks, and they'll have to take it down, work parts. Because we don't know, we have pictures of pipes with holes, you know, water shooting out of them, but I can't tell, all right, is any other pipe damaged or, you know, stuff like that. So there's a little unknown about the infill pump station, and I think that we need to fix it sooner rather than later.
So all of our, I'm going to bring up an old subject, though. All of the times that we talked about plant one, plant two, whether to put it in plant two, and I hate to dredge this up, but we knew plant one was an unknown, and the plant one unknown is beginning to surface, isn't it?
Well, a little bit, but in this particular case, we were always going to keep the infill pump station. That was never going to move. So even when we decommissioned it, this pump station was going to stay. And this pump station was put in brand new, 7 years ago, 8 years ago, right in there. It was one of the projects we did at the last master plan. It's one of the last master plan projects that we did. And, you know, the piping should have lasted longer, but you guys have got an incredible amount of grit coming through your system, and so we're basically kind of grinding away on this piping. So we've had enough failures now that I think we need to address it rather than wait and combine it as part of the unit.
So it sounds like a plan has to be put together.
Well, so the plan is, I think you're looking at $30,000 to fix this thing. I don't know if you want to do it on appeal, if you want to do a bid set or what, but we can put together a quick set of documents that people can get your price on. I don't know how formal you want to be about it, if you want to do it on an emergency basis, or if you want to, it isn't in a dire emergency, but I don't feel comfortable doing it for 18 months. We can put out a plan set in a month and get something on the street that we can get some bids on. Hopefully it'll attract. It's not big dollars, so we've got to attract people. You know, like maybe the data back will do it, or, you know, something like that. But, you know, that's not in the CIP currently. It's not in the budget. I think R&M handle it. Julie, R&M, whatever.
That's within my spending authority, so.
Yeah, I figured.
I can approve that, and we can take it out of reserves.
So
30. My caveat is, I got a picture above, the water's burned out, and I can see that there is a specific hole in a specific location, and I know that the other pipes are broken. But we're going to open it up, drain it out, take the whole thing down, and have a contractor look at it. And at the moment, based on the damage that I see, we're in there like $30,000. I'm not saying there isn't more damage.
Well, the
So the question then is, so I'd ask a timeframe on doing that. I don't know if this is done in series or in parallel, but at what point are we going to have alternative one and alternative two blueprints ready so we can make a decision?
We're going to have all that ready for the next place for a community meeting.
For next meeting?
Yes. So, and right now, all it does is affect what we design, right? So
yeah.
It's not like the sky's not falling or, other than money. It's a matter of, okay, we've discovered this information, we'll incorporate whatever we need to in the design.
Yeah.
As long as we make a decision by next month, we can accommodate getting information and doing this stuff. But at some point, we have to pick direction.
So you'll be ready to deliver a presentation to the committee prior to the meeting next month?
Right, and then have formal recognition with all staff having recognition. If right now even staff can't come up with, well, we need to think about this and see how this goes.
Okay.
So we got two things going on. This need for more oxygen, which is one, and then the repair that you're talking about for the influent.
Right, so the real question.
On the influent project, you just said that that repair is not in the CIP.
No.
We don't have any. It was built 7 years ago. It was probably expected to last 10 years.
At least before you had to do major maintenance, right?
Right, but we didn't put any money at all.
Well, there's an R&M budget for replacement of piping. So you guys have a general dollar amount that you put away every year for
repairs,
pump
sure.
repair, replacement, and piping. So there isn't anything specific for the implant station. That's what I'm trying to
It's just part of all the pipe.
Yeah. You have a lot of pipes in the district.
Right.
So you just put a fund away every year, knowing you're going to fix pipes.
Okay.
So, all right. So the issue with the implant pump station, there is 5 pumps. We only use 1 pump at a time. Normally, 1 pump will handle the flow. Sometimes 2 will kick on just for a short period of time. Pump number 3, the one in the middle pump, at the bottom of the pit, there's a base that the pump slides into. Well, that base has worked its way loose where when you put the pump in, it sprays out the side and won't seep. So we can't put a pump there. So we have that parent pump as a spare. So we have 4 pumps in with 1 spare now. Well, now that pump number 4, as it comes up to the base, there's a gasket in between pipe. Well, that gasket's blown out now. The contractor used some kind of funky, weird-looking gasket, and that's blown out. So we can't use those two. But we have spare pumps to run. We just don't have a hole to put them in until that's repaired. But the issue we have with the infant pump station is that lift station F over here on the corner of the Willow goes right into the infant pump station. There's no way to bypass the infant pump station unless we put plant 1 online. Temporarily, if it's going to be down for a long period of time. Part of the CIP project of the D9 was we're going to reroute the influent pump station line, I'm sorry, the F line from the influent over to lift station W, which pumps around the influent pump station so you can do maintenance on the influent pump station. So part of this project will have to be to hook up temporary hose so we can bypass around the pump station to get it repaired. Or we have to put plant 1 on the line for temporary. It's kind of what they're running into, but all that stuff can be handled through regular R&M repairs. Just how do you want to do it is the biggest question.
Okay. All right.
Thank you.
If you agree, then we can put together a proposal to, in parallel with everything else, we can quickly set out a little bit of fan set on this repair so we can get some costs for it.
We need to get it resolved sooner than later.
Yeah, we'll have Gregory work with Veolia because Gregory can do the design and Veolia can do the installation, etc.
All right. Okay.
That's the update.
Okay. Well, after all of that, we'll now go to the O&M manual presentation.
Gregory will present this. Christmas is still on, thankfully.
Turn on
This one's off now.
Well, we only need one.
There it's on.
Okay, so you may recall a year ago you paid $200,000 for an amendment. Thought that was an outrageous price, you couldn't believe it. I thought I'd at least come in and show you what you paid for.
Okay.
Alright, so this is online. I am online with the server from Stantec. And the point of this manual is to allow the operators, a sort of new generation of operators that work computer savvy, to access the information in a more intuitive way than just flipping through a book and trying to find the information in the book. The book version is available. It's a PDF file. They still have that. You know, if they want to just flip through a book, they can do that. But this was the add-on element of the OMMA. So we still had to create all the information. That's why the book was created, and this was here. So what this does is this allows more of a graphic representation of information. So here you see plant one and plant two. You can come in and click and highlight, and you can then pull up the information about the different pieces of the district. We also have, this worked faster before, my computer's waking up here. So you can graphically pull up information. So there's plant one. If you see the oxidation ditch, you can click on the oxidation ditch, and it pulls up information about the oxidation ditch. We have layouts for both plant one and plant two. And you can see that you can quickly move around between the things. If you see a clarifier, you want to see information on that clarifier, you can click and get information on that clarifier. So more than just drawings, though, go back to plant one. More than just drawings, each section of the plant, you can come over, like the influent pump station here. So we get a schematic of the influent pump station. And one thing that is nice about this is it's hard for operators to read construction drawings. The construction drawings are written for a contractor. And information, there's a lot of ancillary information on the drawing that's for the contractor that take away from what the operator is trying to see. So all the drawings in the manual that's simplified so that it's very clear what's going on. Then they can get a plan of the pump station and see the numbering, how the piping's run. And then they get their whole process description. You know, they get the purpose of the operation. They talk about how the process runs. It tells you how to operate the facility under operations, how to control it, how to maintain it. All right, all the different checklists and things to do to maintenance, how often you have to do it, the schedules, every 6 months, every year, bi-yearly, that kind of thing. This is what you need to do. You start, stop. So, and then there's also a troubleshooting guide. If you're having difficulty, there's suggestions here. Check on the VFD, check the power. If you have this symptom on the left, here's a matrix of things that you can do to help resolve that. So this O&M manual rides above the manufacturer's specific O&M manual. Like the manufacturer's specific O&M manual, a pump will tell you how to take the pump apart. It'll tell you what grease to put into it. But it doesn't tell you how the process works. You know, it just talks about just their pump, you know. And they know nothing else about anything else. This is the story about everything else, you know. And so it isn't just the two treatment plants. It's also the collection system. Here, and I'll pull this up. And all the lift stations are in here also. So here's the collection system. Again, you can highlight a lift station, and you immediately jump to that lift station. Then you can get a section of that lift station, see what's going on, and then of course you can get to your process or your operations and control of how that pump station works, etc. So, and then there is a search function as well. Turned out, I was checking everything last night. I found the search button doesn't work. Stantec's been notified they're going to fix it. But so as you can see, the ease to jump around in the manual is far easier, intuitive if you understand physically. I'm in the plant. I walk around. I see this device that's over here. I want to see a picture of it, then I can pull it up and see it. So it gives you a graphical way to pull up information about how the plant runs. It's also got in a lot more information, like the filter. So we had a draft on it manual from 10 years ago, but it didn't have the filters, a third oxidation ditch, there's a lot of stuff that was empty. All that's filled in now, you know, on the whole project. So this information is available here, and then the operators have passwords. They can also come down, and if you come to the bottom here, you can add notes. so if an operator has a note, he can click in there and he can add a note and he can add a photo. So if there's something specific about this unique thing, like, oh, we have this problem here all the time, they can take a photo, they can type the description in here, and you can type in, you know, do this at this lift station, or do this, or watch out for this. They can type themselves a note, they can upload a photo, and they can do this without Stantec. You can just do it right now. You can just upload a photo, leave a note. So the idea is that it's designed to be interactive. As special problems come up and they need something, or if they write an SOP on something, they can just write here, hey, there's an SOP on how to do this. Go look at the Veolia SOP. You know, they can alert themselves what to do. And the idea is that this will be a portal of information for them. They can make other information off of it. So you can link PDF files, you can link photos, they can even link their OEM manuals or something specific. So this is the backbone of information for how you run the whole plant right now. And it's all on the location. We've never had this before. So that's what you got.
Well, when I was on this committee when we decided to go ahead and do this, and I could see into the future a little bit how nice this was going to be for the operators. And to be able to add information real time, we got a specific kind of use on it, just like you pointed out, I think it's fantastic. And
it's a part of that field is that now that once this gets done, Rambler, our instrumentation, he can take this and incorporate it into our SCADA system, so the operators will have one system, two separate systems. So when they have SCADA come up or wherever, they can click on this at the same time if there's an issue.
Solves the problem.
And the other thing I'll say is we have drawings in here that are no other location. So for instance, this is the piping of Plant 1. It looks complicated, doesn't it? But the whole thing is colorized by process line now. So if you look at the drawings, the construction drawings, every single one of these lines is just black at the same length. So if you're trying to trace through the plant, what's going on with my little line? Look, imagine trying to trace one single black line all the way across that screen, you know. And here, you know, you can blow in and say, okay, here's my little green line, here's where it goes, it comes up here, and it goes in, and it swings around, okay. And then, by the way, here's that force main from pump station F right here, this brown line, by the way. And it's colored, so raw sewage is brown, water is blue, you know, it's color coordinated. And then, by the way, this line comes around here, it comes around the top, and this is what Bernie says, it comes right in here, and it goes in the side of the effluent pump station right here. Well, we needed to come over to pump station W too, so that we can take the pump station down and have a place for that stuff that comes from the station F, which is actually right over here in the corner, to go, you know, kind of thing. But I think that, as you can see, when you bring in younger people that are more computer savvy, this is going to be the kind of thing we want to look at versus the O&M manual. It's this thing. Like, if I hand them the O&M manual, it's like, here's your O&M manual. And I was like, no one's going to carry that thing around in their car, you know. And a PDF file is nice, but, you know, it isn't as useful or as friendly to interface with. And you can't add information. You know, just a PDF file, you can't add a note. You know, it's like, oh, wow, this happens all the time at this station. We need to do this at this station. You can put a note right in there. People can see how this goes on. And then when someone leaves the district, you're not recreating the information every single time, you know. So, you know, that's the value of this. And if there's something special, they can take a photo, put it right in, add a note, and then everybody knows going forward this idea. Or if they write an SOP, they can reference the SOP. They can even link the SOP. So they can link the SOP to, you know, come in and say, I want an SOP for this particular procedure. I want it linked to the manual, and they can link it right up. You know, kind of thing. So that is done. The manual is done, and this is it.
Great. Oh, I'm just curious, from a Veolia standpoint, I'm assuming some of the other plants that you guys operate have electronic manuals, do they? Or?
Yeah. It just depends on how new they are. I mean, old, like Gregor said, old school, you just get this big manual.
Right.
Newer plants are going this way, so everything's electronic.
So as far as O&M manuals, we're right at the top.
At the top, yeah. Like, especially now that we can integrate this right into our SCADA system, so it's all there at one place.
Great.
And I would hope to encourage taking many systems across the country and across the world. And one thing we've all is trying to get to this stage where you're about to be at.
Anything else, Gregory?
Nope.
Okay.
Very impressive. Thank you.
Yeah. Discussion items. We're going to move on to item E. Discussion on well 4A motor replacement.
I'll give you an update on that. Back in the first week in May, we installed a new well 4 that we talked about last year. So the new well was installed, it left running, and today we actually installed a soft start on well 4. Before, if you heard the wells kick on, they go bam, they run, and they go bam when they're done. So now there's a soft start, so when it calls for the well, it round, it starts off slow, and it speeds up, gets a full speed, and it slows down when it's done, so you don't put so much wear and tear on the motor. So it's not just off and on, it rounds up and down. And that was completed today, so the well's up and running and fully capacity.
Great. Okay, and with that, we'll go to the marina pipeline repair.
Bring up Aaron for that.
So current update on the underwater marina to the Marlin cross, underwater cross main. We had a diver out there put on a clam to repair the hole that was there. I did a flush of the underwater crossing. I also did a, tried to do a pressure test, and I found out that one of the valves on the end of Marlin doesn't do a full seat, so it constantly pressurizes the underwater crossing, which doesn't allow me to do a full pressure test. So next phase is to, I wanted to install a new ISO valve. Doing that, we have to dig down to the underwater main crossing to install this valve, and we know we need to put cathodic protection on it. So Mike Rock has reached out to JDH Corrosion. They're going to do a continuity test of the pipe from one end to the other, find out if the pipe is still structurally sound. Once we know more from that, we'll move forward to either putting a gate valve or the next steps.
All right, so we've made progress.
Yes.
Good. Then we'll go on to discussion on the wastewater master plan design. Director Mayor, do you see anything you need for a future discussion item?
No, but I think I grew a few more gray hairs.
You don't have any more to go. Okay. With that, the staff have anything to present? No? Well, at that particular point, it's 6:28, and we're going to close the Water Wastewater Committee meeting.